Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Well, good morning to you. Today we are continuing our series, Four Filters for Godly Decisions. Research shows that the average adult makes 35,000 decisions a day. That is a lot of decisions, and it's so many decisions, we're not going to get all of them right. We're all imperfect. We're all going to make some mistakes. And so what research tells us is that if you want to learn to make better decisions, you need to streamline your decisions. What that means is you've got to make decisions before the decision comes about. That when you streamline your decision, you are more likely to make better decisions. For example, before you go grocery shopping, you should come up with a list and write down the things that you are going to buy. It prevents you and protects you from buying things that you don't need or that you don't actually want. That's how you streamline your decisions. I have a friend who, he was constantly complaining about money, and he was always complaining about how him and his wife didn't make enough money, and he would get upset at other people when they would go on nice vacations because him and his wife could not go on these nice vacations, and he just constantly was complaining about how they didn't get paid enough. And one time he gets to go on vacation because his parents paid for them to go on vacation to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And so he gets in his car, him and his wife, and they travel to Myrtle Beach. And on their way, they stop off at a gas station and he purchases something. He then goes back to his car and he posts on Facebook what he purchased from the gas station. He says, "Guys, you will never believe it. I bought a George Foreman grill from the gas station." Do you remember the George Foreman grill? All right. Okay. My friend did not have an income problem. He had a spending problem. He's constantly complaining about not making enough money. But if you are going to buy a George Foreman grill at a gas station, you need a better filter in place, right? Like, you don't walk into the gas station and like, "Oh, there's Slim Jims, there's some combos, and a George Foreman grill. That's what I need." You should not do that. But that's what my friend did. He needed a better set of filters. And in life, when you pre-decide ahead of time, it helps you make better decisions. When you pre-decide ahead of time with a financial budget, it protects you from spending your money on things that you don't actually need. When you pre-decide about a workout plan or about a diet, it helps you pre-decide, streamline your decisions, and it actually makes decisions easier. And when it comes to people of faith, when it comes to Christians, our decisions should look remarkably different than those that don't have faith and those that aren't Christians. And so as Christians, we need to learn to put filters in place that help us make godly decisions. A filter is similar to, like, at your house, you have an air filter, and the air filter allows the good things to come in and it prevents the bad things from entering in. That's what these filters do. And on week one, we kicked off the series by looking at the very first filter, and the first filter is the cross filter. The cross filter. We got this from something that Jesus said. He says, "If anyone wants to be my disciple, if anyone wants to be one of my followers, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after me daily." The decision to follow Jesus is not a one-time decision. It's not a when it's convenient decision. The decision to follow Jesus is a decision you make every single day. It is a daily decision. And when that filter is in place, it helps you make more godly decisions. That led to week two, and week two was the gospel filter. The gospel filter. The gospel simply means good news, and it is the message of Jesus, and it starts with some bad news. The bad news is all of us are broken, all of us are sinful, all of us have fallen short of God's standards. But because of God's love for us, and because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, because of his death, burial, and resurrection, we can have new life. When you view the world through the filter of the gospel, it changes the way that you view other people. Because instead of being judgmental and looking down at people, you view them through the lens of the gospel and say, "Yeah, that's just another broken sinner like I am." And instead of being hard on people, it allows you to love and to reach in to people because you're like, "Yeah, they're broken just like I'm broken." The filter gospel is so incredibly important. And if you missed either one of these weeks, I encourage you to go back. You can check out the replay on our Facebook page, or you can find our podcast, which is streaming wherever podcasts stream. This kicks off number three. Our third filter is the friend filter. Third filter is the friend filter. And this is an incredibly filter for decision-making. It is incredibly important for us, especially people of faith, those that are Christ followers. And I want to show you this through our text. And our text comes from the Old Testament portion of the Bible. It comes from a book called Proverbs, which is a book of wisdom literature. It is a bunch of wise sayings, of sayings that can help us improve our lives and help us to live more for God. And at Next Level, we honor the text. The way that we do that is by standing to our feet. So I invite you to stand to your feet and read with me nice and loud. Our text, Proverbs 18:24. when you get to the reference, if you're new, you need to know we do something a little weird, and we understand that it's weird. When it gets to the reference, Proverbs 18, 24, there's two dots, and we pump our fists and say dot, dot. And we understand, we know it's weird, but just embrace it. Just jump in with the weird. And if you want to look weird, don't do the dot, dot, because everyone else is going to do the dot, dot. So even though it's weird, we embrace it. Will you read with me nice and loud? It says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 18, dot, dot, 24. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray silently with me. God, we ask that you would speak to our hearts today, that you would challenge us, that you would influence us, that you would motivate us. God, we ask that you would inspire us, but even more than that, God, we ask that you would help us to not just be hearers of the word, but to be doers. Help us to do what you tell us to do. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So friendship is incredibly important to humans. If you grew up in church like I did, maybe you've heard a pastor say that all of us were created with a God-shaped hole. That is, there's a hole in our soul that only God can fill. If that is true, I believe Scripture also teaches that there is a second hole, and it is the friendship hole. That God has wired you and created you to need other people and to be in relationship with other people. Maybe you've heard the famous quote on friendship that says, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. I think that is a very powerful quote. None of us can predict the future. None of us can look ahead and say, this is definitely what's going to happen in my future. But if you want a good indicator of your future, of where you're going, look at the people that you're closest to. If the people that you're closest to are filled with toxicity, if they're filled with drama, if they're filled with poor decisions, you most likely are going to follow in that pattern and end up making poor decisions. But if the people closest to you, if they're making good decisions, wise decisions, God-honoring decisions, you most likely are going to make similar decisions, and it'll impact your future. That reminds me of the quote by Jim Rohn, famous quote, says, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So friendship is incredibly important. The reason that it's so important is that we as humans are adaptable creatures. We just naturally adapt to our environments and to the people that are around us. So, for example, if we were to take you and place you in England, and you were to spend the next handful of years in England, you would just naturally start to say words with a little bit different of an accent. You wouldn't completely change your accent, but you would just start saying, like, garage, and you wouldn't mean to. You would just be influenced by them. It's like when you hang out with your friends, you hang out with people that you like, you naturally kind of start to dress like them. It's not an intentional thing. You don't say, I want to be like them. You just kind of say, oh, I like their style. I like what they do. And you find yourself gravitating towards people. And you can see this when you see people group and friends groups, you can start to tell where they grew up and what neighborhood they were in and what part of America or the world they were in. Why? Because we gravitate towards and naturally adapt to the people that we are closest to. We become a product of the five people that we are closest to. This is why friendship is so incredibly important. But it's not just important for decisions. Doctors tell us that friendship is actually good for our health. According to multiple doctors, people with more social connections are happier and healthier in a host of ways, such as the following. Friendship lowers blood pressure, lowers body mass index, BMI, less likely to experience depression, and can allow you to live up to 22% longer. Friendship is good for your health. I want to go on one of these things, though, that I think is fascinating. The second one says lower body mass index. I'm a pretty big guy. I can't imagine how big I would be without friends. Like, you literally weigh less. You literally weigh less if you have friends. It's phenomenal. Here's the thing, though. I think that all of us would nod our head and say, yes, like, we could see that. We could see how important friendship is. We can see that it really matters. We say that, but then we live something that is very differently. According to a former Surgeon General of America, the next great epidemic in America is loneliness. That the vast majority of people who live in America today don't have any close friends at all. In fact, the Surgeon General has said that this epidemic is going to cause greater harm than cancer or obesity combined. That the negative health effects of being lonely, of not having people in your life that you can live life with, it is literally killing our health. And so often we don't see these effects because we just think, oh, I have stress because of my job. We don't understand. No, it could be stress because we're lonely. Or we see depression, we say, I have depression, it's just my makeup, it's just how I am wired. Or maybe the depression is linked to being lonely. I want to speak just for a second to the men. I think friendship is incredibly important for men and women, but if you're a man, I want to speak specifically to you. And that is because, according to a recent survey, 2.5 million men admitted to having no close friends. Women tend to do a better job of staying in contact and having relationships with friends. Men, something happens that our friends, we really develop them through school or through college or through the early days of having a job. But once a guy gets married, his attention moves from friendship to providing for his spouse and family. And when that happens, guys put friendship on the back burner. And we start to put all of our focus on wife and on kids. But when we do that, it has dangerous health implications. That literally not prioritizing friends and not having some friendship, it is causing so many difficulties in our life. Research shows that when men have healthy friendships, they process and handle stress better. When a man lacks friends, it is linked significantly to higher rates of depression, anxiety, and death. In fact, one John Hopkins study found blood pressure rates improved 17% when men suffering from heart disease had the support of friends and a spouse as opposed to just a spouse. And I don't want to move past that research too quickly. What the research says is that it's good for you to have a wife. It's good for you to have a spouse. It's good for you to have a family. But the health benefits come when you have a family and a friend. And for way too many guys, we just don't have friends. In fact, that led one comedian to say, grown men don't have friends. They have wives who have friends that have husbands. Like, guys don't prioritize. So often men don't have. And if you ask a guy, hey, if you're lonely, they'll say, no, I'm not lonely because I'm doing all these things. But the health risks are there. The heart disease and the depression and anxiety, it's there. And it is linked to the fact that we don't have meaningful, good relationships. Today, whether you are a man or a woman, friendship is incredibly important to your health. It is something that's so important that we have literally come up with a core value of our church that says you can't do life alone, because we believe you are at your healthiest and best when you are in relationship with other people. Friendship is so incredibly important. And I want to show you what the scripture says in Proverbs 18:24. It says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. This verse is going to help us put in place a filter for friendship. You need good friends in your life. And the point of this is not just to have anyone. The point is not just to have any people and to have connections. You need good friends. You need quality friends. In order to make godly decisions, you need friends in your life that are going to help you love God and love people and make a difference. And so this has led to something that I call the concentric circles of friendship. This is how this filter works. And it's going to come up on the screen. Feel free, if you're taking notes, to write it down. Or if you want to just take a picture of the screen, you can do that as well. This is how we implement the filter of friendship in our life. It's with the concentric circles of friendship. Now, as a pastor, I love alliteration. And so I really wanted all three of these words to start with a C, but I couldn't think of a good word for friend with a C, so I was going to call it crens, but I thought that would be weird and you guys wouldn't get it, and so you don't get alliteration. What you do get is friend, companion, and concern. Here's how this works. In your life, you need friends, but you need just not anyone to be a friend. You need quality friends. And if you ever find someone that is a quality friend, someone that you can live life with and that helps you love Jesus and love other people and make a difference, if you ever find that person, you should prioritize and invest in them and make time around them. And the way that we do this, the way that we decide if someone is a good friend or not, is we have to DTR the relationship. DTR, if you're familiar with it, it comes from the dating life of define the relationship. It's this idea of that a man and woman are kind of friends and they're flirting with each other. And they're like, I don't know if there is there something here. Are we going to date or not? And they're like, we need to have a DTR. We need to define the relationship. Are we going to pursue one another or are we going to stay in the friend zone? We need to have a similar conversation idea when it comes to the friends in our life. We need to define the relationship. Most of us, we would say that we have friends, but we don't look at the quality of those friends. And the reason that is because most of the way that we found friends is by proximity. That is, we became friends with people that were close to us. whether they lived in our neighborhood or we went to school with them or we work with them or maybe you go to church with them and you look around and you're like, yeah, I've got people in my life. But you need to define, are these the right people? Are these the people that are helping you love Jesus and love others and make a difference? I don't know anyone that when it came to establishing friendships, set up like a lemonade stand, but it had a banner that said, be my friend, taking applications. I don't know anyone that was like literally had people apply to be their friend and said, you make the cut. Nah, you definitely don't make the cut. You're going to be a good friend. We don't do that. We make friendships based on people that are in proximity to us. But just because someone is friendly with you doesn't mean that they're a good friend. The scripture says that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. A true friend is going to be there with you through thick and thin. A true friend is going to be there. They're going to be your ride or die. A true friend, when your world falls apart, a true friend is going to be there for you. And in order to get these health benefits, the health benefits that come with having friendship, we need not just people in our life that we label friends. We need people that are legit friends that we can give back to and that can pour into us and that help make us better. Now, if you're here and you're saying, I don't know, I don't really want to define relationships. I don't want to label people. This just feels, this kind of feels icky. Well, did you know that Jesus did something very similar? Jesus had lots of people in his life. There were lots that he was surrounded by people all the time. And out of all the people that he knew, he handpicked 12 people to be his closest friends. And out of that 12 people, he then picked 3 to say, you are going to be my closest, my best friends. Not all of the 12 were in Jesus' inner circle. And not everyone in your life can be in your inner circle. There are some people in your life that you call a friend, but they're not a good friend to you. They're not helping you make the right decisions. When you tell them, hey, I'm trying to get my life right, they tempt you. They say, no, don't do that. Don't pay attention to that. You don't need to worry about that. We need people in our life. A real good friend is going to support us through thick and thin. It's going to help us accomplish our goals. It's going to be there for us when our world falls apart. We need good, healthy friends. But then that leads to the second circle. Your first circle is friendship. It should only be a handful of people. But the second circle is companion. Look at what the scripture says one more time. The scripture that we looked at, Proverbs 18:24. It says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We can have lots of companions. And often in our culture, we call our companions friends. Right? If you're on Facebook, they don't call it followers, they call it friends. You can have lots of people in your life that you're like, yeah, I have lots of friends. But just because you're friendly with someone doesn't mean that they are an actual friend. A lot of the people that are in our lives, they're better companions than they are friends. And if you once you define this, once you define the relationship, it's going to protect you. Because you change your expectation when someone is a friend and someone is a companion. If someone is a friend, you expect them to be there for you when your world falls apart. When someone is a companion, you're like, it doesn't matter. I hope they'll help me move. I hope they'll show up. Like, I'll give them pizza. Like, maybe they'll hang out with me for the weekend. But if they say no, I change my expectation because it's a companion. It's someone that I hang out with, that I have fun with. Maybe we text each other every once in a while. But this isn't my ride or die. This isn't the person that I'm going to go to war with. This is just someone that is a person in my life. This is incredibly important to you because oftentimes we blur lines and we share things with companions that should only be shared with friends. If you have a companion in your life and you're like, yeah, we're friendly, we're close. Well, not everyone in your life can handle everything that's in your life. You need some people that you can confess to. You need some people that you can talk to about how you're really doing. And a true friend is going to be there by your side. A true friend you can share and say, hey, I'm struggling. A true friend you can share deep personal things. You can say to a true friend, hey, my marriage is struggling. Can we talk about it? And they're not going to judge you. They're not going to walk away from you. They're going to walk with you through that. A true friend is going to be there for you and pray for you when you admit, hey, I've been making some bad decisions and I need to make better ones. They're going to be there by your side. A companion, you don't want to put that on a companion because a companion can't handle it. And a way that you can tell if a person is a companion or a friend is that if you share something personal with a companion, they're going to spread that around. They're going to gossip. They're going to talk to other people about it. But a friend has your back, and a friend's going to stick there and listen to you and help you through the problem. So if you have someone in your life that you said, yeah, well, they've been in my life forever, but they don't have your back. They don't support you. You need to move them from the friend zone to the companion zone. And you can still be friendly with them, but you need to be careful with what you share. You need to be careful with what information you share with them. And you need to understand that, yeah, they're a good companion. We like to hang out. but they're not my ride or die. They're not the people that I'm going to allow to influence me. They're on the outer circle. And that leads to the third circle, which is the biggest circle, and that is the circle of concern. The circle of concern. Dun, dun, dun. Because I've got friends in low places where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases my blues away. And I'll be okay. I'm not big on social graces. Think I'll slip on down to the
oasis.
Oh, I got friends in low places. I knew I could count on you. I knew it. I legit was nervous putting this in the sermon. I was like, I don't know if they'll sing along, but I was like, yes, they will. I know it. I know Next Level will do it. You did it. You proved it. And here's something. That song is incredibly famous, and it's sang in every karaoke bar in America. But if you are a Christian, you don't have friends in low places. You don't. If you have people in your life that are tempting you or pulling you down or are not supporting your faith, they are not a good, true friend. Your friend needs to be reserved for someone that's going to help you love Jesus and love other people and make a difference. That's who your friends need to be. And so if you have someone in your life and you're like, yeah, but we grew up together. We're like brothers. We're like sisters. I've known them my whole life. That's okay. You don't have to get rid of them, but you need to define the relationship. If they're in your life and they are not letting you and leading you to love Jesus, you need to move them to the circle of concern. You need to say, okay, listen, I'm still going to be friendly with you. We still can hang out, but we're going to hang out on my terms. If you have a friend of concern, one of the greatest ways you can tell is that when you hang out with them, you end up making poor decisions. And so instead of going to their turf and their environment, you need to invite them to your environment. Here's how this works out. If you have a friend of concern, invite them to church. You're probably going to be less tempted if you're hanging out with them at church. If you have a friend of concern, invite them to a small group at Next Level Church. Say, I love you. I care about you. I want to hang out with you. But when I hang out with you on Friday nights, we get in trouble. And I don't want to get in trouble. That's not the life that I'm trying to live. And I know I'm a product of the five people that I'm closest to, so I've got to be careful who I allow to influence me. And you don't need to tell them that you've moved them to the concern zone. You don't need to, like, say, hey, can we have a meeting? Like, it's not you, it's me. You don't need to have that conversation. But you need to mentally understand that there are certain people in your life that you need to be around and you need to influence because they are a person of concern. You need to influence them. You do not allow them to influence you. You know that Jesus was literally like made fun of and people joked on him because he hung out with the so-called tax collectors, prostitutes, and sinners? But Jesus didn't allow those people to influence him. You never see one time where Jesus was like, oh, he hung out with the tax collectors and the sinners, and then he participated in their behavior. Jesus would invite them into his life and invite them into his life so that he could change them, so he can influence them. As a Christian, you need people in your life that don't love Jesus. You just need to make sure they're not influencing you not to love Jesus. You need people in your life that you can invest in, that you can pray for, that you can share with prayer requests, that you can say, hey, listen, you're my person. I want to see you love Jesus, and I want to help you do that. And if you have people in your life that are not willing to be influenced, you move into the circle of concern. And whenever someone's in the circle of concern, you just say, hey, we can hang out, but it has to be on my terms. It has to be. And if they don't accept that, if they walk away, guess what? They weren't a friend to begin with. Because a true friend's going to stick by your side. Now, here's how this works out. When you label someone, when you define the relationship, and you put someone in a circle of concern, they can move circles. They can end up coming into your inner circle. But before they do that, they've got to show that they love Jesus, that they're walking with God, and that they're making good decisions. And when they do that, then you can move them. You can give them more access to your life. You can share more with them. But until they do that, you don't cut off the relationship. You don't say, I'm never going to talk to you again. You move them to your circle of concern. Look at what 1 Corinthians 15:33 says. It says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Don't be misled. Don't lie to yourself. If you're not walking with Jesus, there's a great chance because you're not surrounding yourself with friends that walk with Jesus. Godly friends are so incredibly important to our faith. We need people in our life that help influence us and motivate us and inspire us to love God. And if you don't have those people, you can still be friendly with them. You can witness to them. You can share God's love with them. But you need to be careful and not allow them to influence you, because bad company corrupts good character. Now, here's how this filter works for helping you make decisions. Because friendship is so incredibly important, when that filter is a part of your life, you start making decisions based on how it's going to impact your friend circle. Now, I see a lot of people make a lot of decisions, and most of the people that I see make decisions do not have a friend filter in place at all. I see people make decisions to change jobs, and they don't think about how it's going to impact their friendships. I see people make decisions about moving and changing neighborhoods, and they don't think about how it's going to impact their friends. I see people who make decisions on a regular basis, and the friend filter is not in place at all. The friend filter is not the only filter that you use, but it should be a filter. If you have godly people in your life, you should prioritize and put time around them and spend time with them. That's the filter. And oftentimes we treat friendship like friends just grow on trees. We just treat friendship, I can find friends anywhere. But when you define what real friendship is, you realize not everyone is a good friend. So if I find a good godly friend, I'm going to make time to be around them. And it's worth having conversations and saying, hey, should we prioritize time? How do we spend time with each other on a regular basis, whether it's weekly or monthly? A real good friend is going to be a part of your life. And so you got to prioritize it. And if you have people that are consuming all of your time, but they're not helping you love Jesus, love people, make a difference, you need to move them to a different zone. And you need to start saying, okay, I need to prioritize time with good, godly people that are going to help me love Jesus and love people and make a difference. And once I have that, then I can spend time outside of that with people that don't help me love God, love people, and make a difference. But the key, the first key is to make sure that you have that inner circle of friendship. Now, whenever I do a sermon like this, I know the temptation is to right away start evaluating our friends. And you might be thinking of people right now like, yeah, that joker's out. They're in the... He didn't make the cut. Before you do that, here's the first key to friendship. The first key to friendship is to ask yourself, are you the type of friend that you would want to have? That's the first key. Before you start moving people to zones and before you change relationships or have hard conversations, you need to ask yourself, because here's the truth of the matter. If you are a good godly friend, you're going to attract other good godly friends. And if you want to have good friends in your life and you want them to prioritize you, you've got to prioritize them. And if you wish people would call you on a Friday night to hang out, you got to be the type of person that picks up the phone and calls someone, invites them to hang out. So often we want everyone else to do the work and we're not willing to do it ourselves. So before you judge someone or move the zones, you need to ask yourself, am I being the type of friend that I would want to have? Are you being a godly influence? Are you, when people hang out with you, do they learn how to love Jesus and love other people and make a difference? When people hang out with you, are you supporting their goals and helping them to become better versions of themselves? Are you being the type of friend that you want to have? Look at what our scripture says one more time, Proverbs 18:24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A companion is someone that's friendly with you, but they're not going to be there when your world falls apart. I don't know if you ever watch sports, but on ESPN, they have a documentary program called 30 for 30. And there's a heartbreaking episode on Dennis Rodman, the former NBA basketball player. And it literally brought me to tears when I watched it, because Dennis Rodman was famous for being a guy who could party all the time and still perform highly in the NBA. But since his NBA career, he's lost everything. He's lost his marriage. He's lost his family. But he continues to party and he continues to do drugs. And at one point in this documentary, they interview one of the bodyguards. And the bodyguard says, I told Dennis, these people are not your friends. The people that you buy alcohol for every weekend, they're not your friends. They're not supporting you. They're not going to be there for you. And Dennis Rodman says, yeah, but if I don't keep buying them drinks, they won't hang out with me. And it broke my heart, because he doesn't have friends. He has companions, or he has people of concern. He has people in his life. He's meeting that connectivity. He has people that he can look around and say, yeah, I'm not lonely. I got people. But the question is, are they the right people? The right people are going to help you love Jesus and love people and make a difference. So we need to make sure that we have not just companions, because people with lots of companions may come to ruin. The success comes when you have a friend, a godly friend, that sticks closer than a brother. So may we be a people that prioritizes relationships. May we have great friendships, and may we do this because friendship starts with Jesus. Did you know that Jesus is a friend of sinners, and that's why we can have a relationship with him? Jesus models what it's like to be a good friend. He took us from the circle of concern and he moved us into the inner circle because he died and he rose again for our sins and he loves us, and through his love we can learn to be great friends. So may we model what it looks like to be a great friend. And may we have great relationships so that we can see the world changed. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you that you modeled friendship by becoming our friend first. And we ask, God, that we would take this seriously, that we would prioritize the people that are going to help us make good decisions, that we would prioritize the people that help us to learn how to love others, how to love you, and how to make a difference. And we ask, God, that we would make time for them, that we would spend time with them, that we would invest in them, and that we would be good friends ourselves. And we thank you for what you're going to do.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.